it's good to be bringing the word today. And isn't it good to be in the presence of the Lord? Doesn't it lift your spirits? It's so good. Last week, and the Lord is speaking to us, and in many different ways, he was saying to us, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Who can remember that? Were you here? And he said it through song, he said it through the prophetic word, he said it, it kind of emphasized it. And when God is saying something like that, it's because you need to hear it. It's because it will come at you from every direction because he intends that you actually get that in your innermost being. Now, I want to say the other thing that he was saying to us on Wednesday night, prophetically, he was saying, I will catch you. I will catch you. You know, if you fall into my arms because I will catch you. And that's such a reassurance if you're actually in a place where it's a bit scary to know that if you fall, you're falling back into someone who's got very, very strong arms and who knows how to support you. So I want to start this morning by reading from John chapter 14. And this is Jesus saying those very words, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He's talking to the disciples just before he goes to the cross. And this is what he says. If you love me, show it by doing what I've told you. And I will talk to the Father, and he'll provide you with another friend so that you will always have someone with you. This friend is the Spirit of truth. The godless world can't take him in because they don't have eyes to see him. And they don't know what to look for. But you know him already because he has been staying with you. And he will be even in you. That's the Message translation. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. I'm coming back. And in just a little while, the world will see me no longer. But you're going to see me because I am alive and you are about to come alive. I love that, you know. We think we're alive, but when the Holy Spirit actually comes, makes his dwelling within you, you really become alive. You become kind of super alive. Amen? And that's what I want to speak about this morning. So that is just before Jesus goes to the crucifixion. After the crucifixion, I want you to turn to the first chapter of Acts, and let's just read. Because Jesus had said to them, he says to them here, stay in Jerusalem. Don't move. Don't actually go off and try and copy what I've been doing. Stay here. All right? It's after his death, he presented himself alive to them in many different settings over a period of 40 days. In face-to-face meetings, he talked to them about things concerning the kingdom of God. And as they met and ate meals together, he told them that they were on no account to leave Jerusalem, but they must wait for what the Father had promised, the promise you heard from me. John baptized in water, and you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and soon. Now, those disciples obeyed Jesus, and they waited there. They waited in prayer, they waited there. They did not know what to expect, but they knew that they'd been told, don't try it on your own, wait for this power encounter with the Holy Spirit. Just to remind you, Jesus didn't do anything supernatural until after his baptism in water at the Jordan, when the Holy Spirit came upon him and clothed him with power. And then you see Jesus walking in the supernatural power of God. Now, it's no different for us, folks. We need to receive power. There's always more. Even when Jesus had been filled with the Holy Spirit, it says that he was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. He goes out into that wilderness situation where he's fasting and he's waiting on God and he's tempted by the devil. And the Bible says he comes back in the power of the Spirit of God. So he's kind of filled, but he comes back with even more power than he went into the situation with. And that's the way the Holy Spirit works. The more you actually allow the Holy Spirit to flow through you, actually catch you, be with you, do what he wants to do, the more you will see. And there's always more. Okay? Now, many, many people think, well, I've been born again. Do I need part two? Yes, you do. You are never, ever, ever meant to work and operate in your strength. You need to be born again because that's your entrance into the new life in Christ. But you need to be baptized in water because basically that's your declaration that you are part of the body of Christ on earth. And then you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit so that you know that it's not you trying to live a Christian life in your own strength, but you're allowing the power of the Spirit of God to live in you and live out of you. And all he wants you to be is a container. Carry me there. Let me do the works that I want to do. So many years ago, we had a guy in this church called Mike Saffrey, who was a brilliant dramatist, wrote amazing dramas. And I always remember him writing this piece where he fell madly in love with a French girl, you know, Nicole. and he absolutely adored her. But her father said, you can't marry her. She's not French. You're not French. So then he goes through a process which he acted out. You know, he learns French culture. He learns to dress like a Frenchman. He learns to speak like a Frenchman. He learns French. And every time he went back to the father and said, now can I marry her? Now, you know, I look French. I'm speaking French. And he'd worked so hard. And the father says to him, no, every time. And in the end, out of sheer frustration, he says, what do you want me to do? Be born again? And the answer is, of course, yes. Because actually the Christian life isn't a matter of copying behavior or copying culture. It's actually having a new person living inside you who empowers you and who lives his life out of you. Amen? So, when a person is baptized in the Holy Spirit, there will be an evidence. And I want us to look at Acts chapter 8, because it makes it very clear here. The disciples are actually talking about this. They're demonstrating God's power. They go to this area in Samaria where there is a wizard who has been working with all sorts of witchcraft sort of stuff. And I think it's verse 3. Maybe I have the wrong verse. Is it verse 3? Is it Simon the wizard? Verse 9. Okay, let me just see. Okay, when the people heard what he had to say and they saw the miracles, these are the disciples, clear signs of God's action, they hung on his every word, and many who could neither stand nor walk were healed that day. Evil spirits protested loudly as they were sent on their way, and what joy there was in the city. Previous to Philip's arrival, a certain Simon had practiced magic in the city, posing as a famous man and dazzling all the Samaritans with his wizardry. He had them all, from little children to old men, eating out of his hand. They thought he had supernatural powers and called him the Great Wizard. He'd been around for a long time, and everyone was more or less in awe of him. But when Philip came to town announcing the good news of God's kingdom and proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ, they forgot Simon and they were baptized, becoming believers right and left. Even Simon himself believed and was baptized. From that moment, he was like Philip's shadow, fascinated with all the God signs and miracles. He wouldn't leave Philip alone. When Simon saw, I'm jumping a verse, that the apostles merely by laying on of hands conferred the Spirit, he pulled out his money excitedly and he said, show me your secret. Show me how you do that. How much do you want? Name your price. Peter said, to hell with your money. You can't buy God's gift. You'll never be part of what God is doing by striking bargains and offering bribes. Change your ways and now. Ask the master to forgive you for trying to use God to make money. Do you see? There was an evidence. He had used magic and, you know, witchcraft, and there was a certain amount of signs and wonders, and people get fascinated by that. They do today. But actually, when the apostles came into town and began to pray for people and lay their hands on them and say, receive the Holy Spirit, there was an evidence. Some people spoke in tongues. Some people saw visions. Some people heard something and spoke it out. Some people were just overwhelmed with great joy. And I want to say to you that, there will always be an evidence of something supernatural about the Christian faith. If there isn't, folks, then we're just religious, and it's not worth having. It's the copycat. It's the Englishman trying to be French. Do you understand? But we want the real thing. We want to see the power of God manifest in our nation and absolutely blowing out of the water any of these false gods and, stuff that sounds as if it's powerful, but it isn't. False healing and spiritism and all these sort of things, because they're all counterfeit, but the real thing is actually worth having. So let me turn you over to Acts chapter 19. Because here Paul had actually gone down to Athens, or to Ephesus actually. And while he was there, he met a group of Christians and he thought, what's wrong with them? There's something wrong here. Let's read it. Now it happened that while Apollos was away in Corinth, Paul made his way down through the mountains and came to Ephesus. He happened on some disciples there. And the first thing he said was, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you take God into your minds only? Or did you also embrace him with your heart? Did he get inside you? We've never heard of that, a Holy Spirit, God within us. How then were you baptized, said Paul? In John's baptism, which was a baptism for repentance from sin and a changed life. Well, that explains it, said Paul. John preached a baptism of a radical life change so that people would be ready to receive the one coming after him who turned out to be Jesus. If you've been baptized in John's baptism, you're ready now for the real thing, for Jesus. And they were. As soon as they heard of it, they were baptized in the name of the Master Jesus. Paul put his hands on their head, and the Holy Spirit entered them. And from that moment on, they were praising God in tongues and talking about God's actions. And altogether, there were about 12 people there that day. Do you see? It's possible not to have all that what God wants to give you. Now, I want to give you part of my own personal testimony. I got saved when I was 11 years old, radically saved. I met God the Father. He became my Father. He dealt with a very unruly nature that was part of me. I was rebellious. I was a mess. And gradually, as I read his word, as he dealt with me, I began to change. My behavior certainly changed. My love for God changed. But when I read the Acts of the Apostles and I looked at what I was living with, I thought, oh, this is crazy. Here there is adventure and there is action. Quite honestly, going to church on Sunday, even if it's a wonderful church, is no substitute for the power of God in everyday life. Do you know? And I was longing for that. And I talked to people about the Holy Spirit, and they kept on saying to me, oh, well, you know, that was the days of the early church, dear. Calm down. And I thought, no, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So where's your power? And then I met a lady who told me of the most amazing miracle of a child who had been healed, who was completely like a cabbage, like a vegetable, and this child had had hands laid on it, and within, the child was four but had never sat up, and within less than a year, that child had gone through every developmental stage and went on to become a university lecturer at Newcastle. Now, that, I go back to my traditional Brethren Christian family. It was before I got married, and I blast out Friday night and tell everybody what actually has happened. And my father-in-law, God bless him, said, oh, I think there must be Pentecostals. Be careful. And I go, you hypocrite. I don't care what label they've got on them, but they have experienced power, and we haven't. And so I began to get hungry. Then my sister-in-law had a very unfortunate incident when she was engaged to be married, and she broke it off. And we went to see her. We were traveling down from the north of England. She was at college, and we just dropped in on her, and I thought she looked a bit miserable. I said, what on earth's up with you? And she said, I've just broken my engagement. Showed me her ring. And, you know, you hug her, you put your arms around her, but it's painful, you know? It's sad. She was hurting badly, but it was the middle of her college term. By the time she came home at Easter, I met her from the station because I always liked to natter with her before she got home, you know. And so I said, "Are you okay? You are all right, aren't you?" She was radiant. So what's happened to you? She said, "I need to come home with you now, and I need to tell you what's happened to me. I've actually been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I speak in tongues. But don't tell Mum and Dad. And get your Bible and get every scripture and actually mark it, because once they know what's happened to me, they're going to actually go on a rampage to try and prove that this doesn't happen." So that's exactly what happened. But I will never forget this discouraged, miserable girl who understandably was brokenhearted. Maybe less than 2 months later, she's standing in my kitchen, radiant, full of the power of God. Eventually, after a long time, she actually married the man who she broke off with. But in that time, God had actually done a great work in both of their hearts and brought them to a position where they could be married and be strength for each other. But you know, it set off in me a hunger. I wouldn't leave it alone. I remember Charles saying to me, I read every book, there weren't many. I read the scriptures, I talked to everybody. We used to host people coming into our house to take Youth for Christ meetings. And they walked through the door, and I'd sort of kind of just sense in my spirit what was going on. And Charles would say, well, they're baptized in the Spirit, aren't they? And I say, yes. And then he'd say, well, don't, you know, sort of be gentle. But I couldn't be gentle. It was like, sit down. I need to ask you questions. I need to find out. Now, will you pray for me? And most of them wouldn't pray for me. I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? But I think God had put a restraint on them, because actually when we were baptized in the Spirit, he prayed for us. The person who prayed for us prayed for both of us. And God had given him a very clear word, pray for Charles first, and then he can pray for you. And he did. Now, the hunger had built up and built up and built up inside me. And the scripture says those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. And I believe that God is saying this morning, stir up. Get hungry. You know, are we seeing enough, folks? No. Well, then who is going to move in our nation and actually cause God to be honored and glorified? It's the Holy Spirit. And this morning in the prayer meeting, God was saying to us, you know, like the sun is always there, but every now and again there is a solar flare that actually is visible. In the 80s and the early 90s, there was a move of God in England, which was called the Charismatic Revival, or call whatever you like, but it was God impacting society. There were signs, there were wonders, there were healings, there was excitement. You couldn't wait to get to the next meeting because you didn't know what was going to happen. And God had spoken to me this morning and said to me that I'm about to pour out a new wave of my Spirit on Europe. So get ready, folks, because actually we need to be able to experience these things and explain what they are. Okay. I am not saying that you will have an immediate Baptism in the Holy Spirit, yes. So I'm not saying you will immediately speak in tongues. I believe that that is possible, and I believe I would like that to happen. But I would have to say that I've laid my hands on people, they've opened their mouth, and whoosh, out has come a wonderful language. Equally, I've laid my hands on people, and it seems as if nothing has happened. And when I've asked the question, there's one lady in this church, and she came week after week after week saying, nothing's happened, but I want to speak in tongues. Nothing's happened. Nothing's happened. Well, God eventually asked us to ask her a question. Did she really want to speak in tongues, or did she, or not? And she was concerned because already her husband thought she was a bit wacky having become a Christian. And she was a little fearful inside that if she spoke in tongues, he might actually think she'd really gone off the deep end. And that was like a kind of restraint on her. Once she saw that, she said, I don't care. You know, I want God more than I want to be respectable. I want God more than than whatever waves it might cause. She was baptized in the Spirit and filled and speaking in tongues, released in tongues very, very easily. Now, for myself, when eventually I had hands laid on me, I was terribly disappointed because I felt great joy. I knew that God had done something, but actually I didn't speak in tongues. And there were people in our youth group who got prayed for at the same time, and they did. I tell you, I was so jealous. What's up with me, God? What's wrong with me? I've wanted you. These lot hardly wanted you at all. We dragged them along to these meetings, and they get it, and we don't. But I know for me, it was like, believe that you have received, and it will be yours. And for me, it wasn't like a toy. I knew that I had waited for years to actually be released in the Holy Spirit, and I was determined that I was pushing through. So I think eventually I had about three words. I pestered this poor man, Barry Kissel, and I remember being on this conference, and we were standing in the basement, and I was washing, there was a washing machine, and I said, Barry, you've prayed for me to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm thanking God, but as yet, I'm not speaking in tongues. Would you pray for me again? And he started to pray for me, and as he did, the washing machine started. Do you know? Rumble, rumble, rumble. But it was almost like prophetic when I look back, because it was like, it was there, the electricity was all connected, the washing machine was about to go, do you know? But there was a time factor in it. And eventually I pushed through. I began to sing hymns and sing my three words in tongues to the hymn tune. And then suddenly I stopped worrying about it and it began to flow. Now, joy was there. Repentance was there because the Holy Spirit began to convict me of things that I'd never been bothered about before. I read a lot of books that I shouldn't have read. And as I'm reading through the scriptures, I see the bonfire that they make of books and burn them because they're wrong books. And the Holy Spirit said to me, now go, when you go home from here, I want you to go upstairs. I want you to clear out every book that you don't think is glorifying to me. Oh, Lord, you know, they've cost me something. I bought them. Well, get rid of them, you know. And every act of obedience takes you further into that leaning back on the Holy Spirit and trusting him. Now, people can prophesy. That's what Olive was doing this morning. That's what I did this morning, bringing a word from the Lord. Sometimes tongues is a private thing, which is in your prayers because you don't know what to pray for. And I felt the Lord say to me, there are people here who are living in partnership with people with long-term illnesses. Alan is obviously one with Donna, and there are other people. Now, I want to actually, I believe what the Lord was saying is, stir up the gift within you. Just for a few minutes every day, maybe every night before you go to sleep, lay your hands on that person and pray in tongues. You don't know what God's going to do, but I actually felt, release the power of God into that situation and be vigilant, diligent about it. There are all sorts of gifts. But 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 3 says they're given to comfort, to strengthen, and to encourage. And God can do that. You know, there is a whole list in 1 Corinthians 12 of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's not set in concrete. There are many more gifts than this. But these are the sort of gifts. There's gifts of wisdom. You use those in everyday life when you haven't got a solution. And you ask God, there must be an answer here. Give me your wisdom. I mean, we see our Ben with his aircraft engineering in some of the remote places of the world. And God will give him wisdom like that. It's supernatural. But it works. Seeing beyond the obvious. You know, Daniel in the Old Testament is faced with an impossible situation. A king has a dream. He won't tell the dream. Daniel needs to give the interpretation and the dream. Where'd you go for that sort of information? You go to the Spirit of God who knows men's hearts and knows everything. Faith, another gift that you suddenly find supernaturally. You've read that scripture 1,000 times, but suddenly you believe it. It goes into your heart and you think, yes, and you can stand on it. Miracles. Well, we know what they are, and we want to see more of them. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Father, Jesus said. The Father in me does these works. And it's the Holy Spirit in us that releases faith, which enables the Father to do the works. Distinguishing between spirits. I mean, we could spend hours on all of these things. But we need to know what's going on. Many years ago, I was in a meeting, and a woman, just in the middle of the meeting, screamed out. I mean, it was a blood-curdling scream. It was frightening. I mean, some of you who are there on Wednesday night perhaps were a little bit scared because there was some emotion going on with Beth. But actually, God was healing her. God was actually saturating her, penetrating her heart, doing things that we don't know, but he was at work. Don't give up. You're another couple who I believe if Beth will let you, lay your hands on her and pray in tongues every day, just for a few minutes. Don't make a big deal about it, but let the Holy Spirit loose into that situation. Anyway, John Wimber was leading this meeting, and he just took the microphone and he said, folks, that is a spirit of grief leaving a woman who's been deeply troubled. Settle down. It was all we needed, an enormous conference, because people were just, what's going on? Is it all going to go wild and out of control? Well, I'm not telling you that the Holy Spirit isn't wild and out of control. Wild things can happen. And one thing I can say to you is that if you fall back into the arms of the Holy Spirit, of Jesus catching you, it's not always respectable. I remember years ago meeting a very, very frightfully, frightfully posh businessman who was in the sort of real upper crust circles in London. And he'd been prayed with to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we heard him, this is what he said. He said, nothing happened, old chap, nothing happened. He said, until I was sitting on the tube in the morning, he said, and suddenly I opened my mouth behind my Times and I was jabbery like a monkey. And you know, I thought, praise the Lord, he wanted to be jabbering like a monkey. Do you know, he wasn't prepared to be respectable. And I just know that God wants to do something new in our midst so that he stirs up the gifts that we've had, you know. Use it or lose it. Stir up what God has given you. If you haven't been praying in tongues, pray in tongues. If you haven't been expecting God to act and give you very clear instructions, open your ears. You know, the Bible says, earnestly desire. And I'm going to tell a story about my darling Daniel. We had a man staying with us who was called Trevor Deering. And Trevor was a man who was known, when he prayed with people, things happened. Fireworks happened. And particularly people fell over. And all sorts of anywhere near them, he'd walk up to them, he'd be standing there, and woof, out they'd go in the power of the Spirit. So he'd been staying with us for the weekend. And of course, you're telling stories about what happened in the meeting on the Friday night or whenever it was. Daniel's 7 or 8, and he says to Trevor, can I come to the meeting? I want to see people falling over. And I'm thinking, that's not the right reason to go. But Trevor was very wise, and he said to me, let him come. He said, if he wants to come and see the Holy Spirit work, let him come. So it was in Falmouth, in a theatre down in Falmouth, and we were having these meetings. Had the Friday night, had a Saturday morning teaching meeting. Saturday afternoon, I took Daniel down there. I don't know whether anybody else came. And we went to the meeting, and Trevor started to minister. And we were sitting about halfway back, and Daniel goes straight down to the front, stands on the front, I don't know if you remember any of this, stands on the front of the platform where Trevor's ministering. And there they are, you know, bang, wallop, flat, you know, and all sorts of things happening. So the next thing I see is Daniel standing in the front, and Trevor lays his hands on you. And I'm so nosy, I can't get near enough to see what's happening. So I only know I saw this little blonde head walking to the front. So eventually, after that meeting, I bring him home. And I was doing something upstairs, and he was in the bedroom with his brother Craig and somebody else. And I heard Craig say to him, well, what happened then? What happened? And Daniel said, oh, they were all speaking in this funny language. And Craig said, well, tell us about it. Tell us about it. What was it like? And Daniel's bouncing on a bed, and he's going, well, it was Jadudi Mamalhahuli Makalabasia Mamora Babashidiki. And Craig's laughing the place down and mocking, really. And I go in there and I say, stop it. That is a language. That is tongues. God has actually baptized you in the Holy Spirit. And everybody goes, oh. And that's what happened as an 8-year-old. And I found myself remembering that this morning, not to embarrass Daniel, but to say to you folks, we have got children who need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We've got children who actually need to speak in tongues, need to exercise spiritual gifts, because there's no age barrier. If you are hungry, you can be filled. So stir up those gifts. Earnestly desire those gifts. He will equip you for whatever task he's assigned you to. It's exciting. I didn't sign up for boredom, folks. I signed up for an adventure with God. And I just long to be filled more and more and more with the Holy Spirit. He wants to change us. You know, in the Old Testament, when Saul was baptized, King Saul was baptized in the Holy Spirit, he prophesied. And they said, Saul, whoa, among the prophets? Yes, he was. The scripture says he was changed into a different man. And God is in the process of changing us into different people so we reflect Jesus more and more. Yes, it's pure love. Yes, it's actually knowing that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. But yes, there is a power dimension. When we just say, I need you. I don't need my behavior modified by me. I need it changed by you. I personally had a real problem with self-control. I would, you know, my fuse level was very low. And I was married to someone who had a very high threshold. So, you know, I would react to the kids doing a stupid thing. And Charles would be sitting there, Mr. Calm, until it got to him. But his level was much higher than mine. So it was usually me that they heard yelling and screaming. And I knew that that was not godly behavior, because self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. So I tried to be a Frenchman. You know, to be a Christian. And I tried and I tried and I tried and I tried and I didn't get very far until the Holy Spirit filled me. And when the Holy Spirit filled me, it was a fruit of Him being in me. Yes? Amen. Simon. Yes,
say something. Okay. I was going to say what you were saying and everything. Yeah, last week, speaking about, I had this bloke stay with me. He was, I didn't know him or anything like that. A friend of mine said, listen, can you put this bloke up? He's going through some problems, life-changing decisions and that. I said, okay, let me speak to my wife, as I do. So I said to Kate, listen, can we have this bloke come and stay with us? Blah, 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 blah. She said, well, we don't really know him. And blah, blah, blah. I said, yeah, come on. So we both agreed. We said, yeah, we'll have him. Anyway, his name was Jamie, and he was 47. We just got rid of a Jamie who was 47. So God's got a wicked sense of humor. Anyway, he came into our house, and he stayed with us for a week. As I was saying, he was going through some big changes, do you know what I mean? Some big life-changing decisions. Anyway, I said to him, it was last Sunday, and I said to him, listen, I've got to go to work. Now I'm going, do you want to go for a sing-song up here? Yeah. So I said, listen, I'm going to take you, I'll put you in the car, I'll take you up here, and we'll go for a sing-song. So he came in and he stayed here. I stayed for about half hour, and I said, "Listen, I'll meet you at home. I've got to go back to work." Anyway, he came back to my house, and he was just buzzing, full of the Spirit. He says, "I have never felt nothing like that before, just by stepping in here in the presence of God. Just by stepping in," and he just sat at the back there, and he was just, he come back and he explained this to me. I come home from work, and he was just gleaming. I walked in, and he was sat there gleaming, and he was da-da-da-da-da-da, chatting. And just full of the same, what is this? It's like just a sing song, like a connection to the Father by singing, by da da da, and just it was just overwhelmed. The next day we picked him up. He said he had the best sleep that night, like he ever had in the whole of the time that he was there. He got up, we got him up, and we got him into a place in Bristol. As the next day he had his own home and everything. Amazing, just by stepping in the presence of God, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Church folks, this is signs, wonders, miracles, but it isn't superstars. It's everybody. It's every one of us. And we've run out of time, and I don't even know how to handle this, but all I can say to you is cry out to God yourself, so that he will fill you with his Spirit. It's a gift from the Father. And when you receive a gift, you say, "Thank you." So just cry out, "God, I want to be filled with your Holy Spirit." Ask the ministry team to pray with you. I will pray with you. Anybody here who ministers will pray with you. But you need to be filled. And, we all leak. So we need to be topped up. We need to stir up those gifts that are within us. And we will see more and more and more of the sort of thing that Simon is talking about. Because people want more than this boring everyday life that we're living. They want to see God in action breaking through. Amen. Father, we bless you. We need you. We just say, Holy Spirit, we long for you. Make us hungry. Make us thirsty. Make us search the scriptures. Make us change our minds if we've been indoctrinated in a particular way. Break through, Lord, so that we get everything that you want to give us. Because we can't do. The task is enormous. It has to be your Spirit working supernaturally in every situation. And this is what we're asking you for. Start with me, Lord. Fill me afresh. Just make that your own personal prayer now. Fill me afresh. And use me, Lord, so that I'm expecting you to come and to see you in action. In Jesus' name. Amen.